Blog Talk Radio.
Grateful and is always blessed to be with you this morning. Woo! Your host was sleeping good today because I got to go back to work today. Grateful, thankful, and blessed to have my client back and feeling well. So I am feeling well just to be with you today. Good morning, Mother Valerie.
Good morning, Pastor Bridget.
How are you this lovely morning?
I'm doing good because God is good.
Amen, amen. I was listening to a Bible study this morning, and it was talking about Caiaphas. That's why I lost track of time. It was talking about Caiaphas, who was the high priest at the time of the crucifixion. And it talked about the fact that Jesus appeared to him after he was resurrected, and he didn't know what to do. He went in and said, you know what, I'm done. He gave up his position because
wow.
He realized, I messed up. And, you know, I don't know if he became a Christian. I don't know. It didn't talk about that. It just talked about the fact that Jesus appeared to Caiaphas, that Jesus changed Caiaphas' life after the resurrection. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I thought it was awesome, actually. The fact is that the one that was so gung-ho in getting him, I'm going to get him, he's going to die, I got to get rid of this little upstart, wind up being the one who he came to visit with, the one who got to know him, and the one who said, I can't be in my position because I did something wrong. Because remember, the veil was torn in the temple. It came from the top down. So only the high priest would know about that, because he would be the one that would have to go behind the veil. So he knew something had happened with the earthquakes and with all these things. And I tell you, we as people of God have got to understand something's getting ready to happen. I was listening to a news coming, and there's going to be in Illinois, I believe it's two different types of bugs basically that are going to come, and they're going to say, and they're saying it's going to be biblical proportion, that we need to understand that, you know, cicadas look like locusts. They look like locusts. So we got an eclipse coming next week. We got locusts coming. You know, we need to stop and take a minute. I do believe that God is trying to tell us something. The question is, will we listen? And the word that God gave me was, I command you today to love the Lord your God and to keep his commandments. God is speaking to us that we have got to to keep his commandments. We've got to follow what God said. So many times we're doing us and not doing God. And I have to say, yesterday, choir rehearsal, we had a miraculous thing happen. As we were singing, a lady walked in and she just sat down in the back. And she said that she felt the presence of God and she had to just come in because I guess we were singing. She said it sounded like angels. And all I could do was give her a hug. And then as I was hugging her, she started singing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And we got to let our light shine because it is not about us. It's all about Jesus. It's about his love. It's about the joy that he brings each and every day. We cannot forget who we are and who we belong to. And we belong to the Most High God. We are his children, and he loves us with a heart that we cannot even imagine, with a love that we cannot even express. It's just so wide and so deep. And as we get ready to get started this morning, again, good morning, Mother Valerie. And the word
morning,
that God gave in our 365 days of prayer, it says, you are perfect. You are perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Are we trusting in God today? Are we still trying to do our own thing? And that's the 18th Psalm, verse 30. And it's coming from the New King James Version. It says, Lord, you are more than I can try to describe. When I feel the lack in my life, I remember the fullness of who you are, the perfection of your ways. Your love draws me in. It doesn't push me away. With immediate, with imitation, with intimidation tactics, you know that it is kindness that draws people. Of course, you know that. You designed us to be like you. You cover me as I trust in you. You hem me in behind and before, keeping me from stumbling. Your word is alive, breathing courage and passion into the most destitute souls. Who can describe your goodness? Who can recount the ways you have faithfully saved your people? You are constantly reaching out, not withholding any good thing that would benefit your children. You pour out your love so we can drink deeply and become just like you. I ask for fresh revelation of your greatness today, Lord. Shine your light in a way I haven't seen before. And the question as we get started is, what are the best attributes you have seen God exhibit in your life this morning? Thank you, Lord.
Thank
as Mother
Lord.
Said, for waking us up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us another day, another opportunity to walk in righteousness, to walk in your way. Father God, I lift this word up this morning, asking you, Lord God, to increase as I decrease, Father. Increase as Mother Valerie decreases, Father. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord God, guide us and lead us as we go through your word, Lord God. May it touch someone's heart. May it touch someone's mind. May someone walk in and listen in and say, what must I do to be saved? As they hear your word, we know, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent of all your sins and give your life to the Savior, and you will be saved. For he is our absolute. He is our loving God. He is our Savior. He is Jesus Christ. And he is the Messiah who died on Calvary's cross for you and I. And it's in his name we pray, lifting up the word of God, this basic instruction before leaving earth. We give ourselves away for the Lord to use us this morning. We give ourselves away for the Lord to use us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm filled up. I went to sleep on prayer and the word, and I am just grateful the Lord woke me up this morning to start me on my way to give him honor, glory, and praise. Mother Valerie, will you take us to the word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 29 through chapter 30? And then I will be back, family, with our 40th Psalm, verses 1 through 5, Proverbs chapter 13, verses 9 through 10, and Luke chapter 7. Mother Valerie, take us there. And again,
amen.
I was coming out of Deuteronomy chapter 30. I command you today to love the Lord your God and to keep his commandments. When we follow the commandments of God, we don't have to worry about anything else. And I can tell you this, he answers prayers. Mother Valerie, take us there. Take us to the throne through the word of God.
Amen. Good morning, people of God. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Hobar. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, you've seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, to this very day. And I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not wore out on you, and your sandals have not wore out on your feet. You mean they had sandals on for 40 years and clothes for 40 years? I would like to have seen that. That did not wear out. Ooh, God is truly, he's amazing. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you come to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle. We conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, to half tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Amen. I command you today to love the Lord your God. That's the title. He said, keep the commandments that you may prosper in all that you do. All through the Bible, all that we've read, the blessing and the cursing, the commandments. I command you this day on the blessing and the cursing. He said it over three times. You would be blessed. You would be cursed. What is it that we don't understand? That if you keep God's commandments, he will bless you. And if you don't, he said, I command you. He commands you, but God is not going to force you. You don't have to keep the commandments, and you will be cursed. I mean, that's all there is to it. It is what it is. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders, your tribes, and your elders, and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, so the stranger who's in your camp, for the ones who cut your wood to the one who draws your water. You may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into this oath which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I make this covenant and this oath with not just with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God as well as with him who is not here with us today. You know that we dwell in the land of Egypt and that we came through the nations that you passed by and that you saw the abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that they may not be among you, man or woman or family or tribe, whose hearts turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that they may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as through the drunkard could be included with the sober. The Lord could not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. Man, you don't want to see that happen. You want to see your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the coming generations of your children who rise up after you, who raise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land would say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which the Lord has laid on it, the whole land is brimstone, salt, and barren. It is not sown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Amah, Zimah, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. All the nations will say, why has the Lord done so to this land? What does the heat of this great anger mean? Then people will say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord, God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went out and served other gods, worshiped them, gods that they did not know and that he had not given to them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against this land to bring on it every curse that is written in this. And the Lord uprooted them from the land in anger and wrath and in great indignation, cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And God is just good, blessing and cursing. Chapter 30. Now it came to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. You return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the forest part under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He'll prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you, and you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock. I command you today to love the Lord your God. That's the title. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he have rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God and keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, for this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it for all. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways. How many times do I have to tell you that? And to keep his commandments. That's the third time. His statutes and his judgment. And you may live and multiply. Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. For if your heart turns away so that you do not hear or drawn away and worship other gods and fear of them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your light and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. God repeats, when he repeats three things three times, he's telling you to listen up. Hey, I'm telling you exactly what to do. Deuteronomy 30:9. The Lord your God will make you abound, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good. The Lord loves to rejoice over his people for good, not to pronounce curses over them for their punishment. Rather, we receive the blessing or the judgment of God is up to us. Obedience matters. They say obedience is better than sacrifice. God must judge sin, and believers are not exempt in the world. God saved us not so that we can sin with impurity, but so that we can obey. We can obey the Lord our God with joy. Like blessing. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret thing belongs to the Lord our God. God withholds many peaceful nations from us. That is his right. But he reveals everything we need to know in order for us to live holy and joy-filled lives. God is God, and he's God all the time. Deuteronomy 29:4. The Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, ears to hear, to this very day. What the Lord has not given to his people Israel, he has given to members of the church, to those in whom the Spirit of God dwells. God has given it to those in the church whom the Spirit of God dwells. This is a good lesson, and God repeats himself. You know, if God repeats himself three times, you ought to listen up. You ought to be able to hear. Thus says the Lord God. He wants you to keep his commandments. And you know what? His commandments are not grievous. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God to obey, I command you today to love the Lord your God. Look, like God shouldn't have to command you to love him. We should just love him because he's so good. God is very, very good to us. And he first loved us, so why shouldn't we love him? But it says, I command you today to love the Lord your God. And I'm telling you to love the Lord your God and don't go serve other gods. You know, I get amazed every time I think about Aaron and Moses making a calf. Now, Aaron knew better than that. He knew better than that, making a calf and having the people bow down to something that you made with your own hands. I mean, people got minds where they can think that don't even seem real that you could do that. But they did that. Come on, where is this Moses? God wants you to love him, not something that you made with your own hand, an idol. God is just good that he don't wipe us out completely, but he has mercy, compassion, and he's kind. He wants you to come to him with a willing heart, a willing heart to love the Lord your God. Wow. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. God is good.
What a word, Mother. What a word. I command you today to love the Lord your God and to keep his commandments. What a word. And as we go into our psalm this morning, we're in the 40th psalm, verses 1 through 5, and it's the Psalm of David. And he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud. Come on now. Nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Whew, what a testimony. What a testimony. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works. Not just works, but wonderful works. I feel that. Which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And he loves us so very much. All we can do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, for your love and for your kindness. God is just that good. And then the word of God says in Proverbs, the light, Proverbs 13:9-10, says the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well advised is wisdom. We need wisdom. We need God to take us to that throne. When we go to the throne of grace, we know that God is with us and that he is a light that shines in the darkness. He is our God and he loves us so much. As I think as you made a way when my back was against the wall, God is always there making a way. He is that light in the darkness. We can't do nothing more than say, thank you, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for being there with me when I'm by myself and feeling afraid. He says, I'm there. You don't ever have to worry. I am with you always, even until death, even until the next life. God is always, as we get ready to go into Joshua coming up, he tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's what he told us. That's what he meant. That's what he said. And as everybody knows, Joshua chapter 1 is one of my favorite books of the Bible. And we'll be in it, I believe, next week. Or we may be in it on Friday. But that book does something to my spirit. It has gotten me through some things. And as we finish up Deuteronomy coming up, You know, we have to remember the Lord does not ask much of us just to keep his commandments. And if we go back to our psalmist, it says in verse 1 of chapter 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. David, we all know, was a hot mess, but he went to God. He repented. He repented, and so must we repent. As we all know, some churches have communion every Sunday. We have communion normally the first Sunday, and we also have it on Resurrection Sunday. And so we will be having communion again this Sunday. And I say to you, as we get ready, you know, to go before God, when we take that cup and we take that bread, we cannot take it amiss, because you will bring curses on yourself. Repented heart. We have to repent before we lift up that bread, before we put it behind our teeth, before we eat it. We have to repent. There are those that don't feel that they have to repent for anything. We all repent daily, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then as we go into a life lesson, it's a question from Proverbs chapter 13 and 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well advice is wisdom. We need wisdom. And it tells us God often leads us to seek advice from others. When he does so, he wants the lifestyle of the person from whom we hope to receive counsel. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9 and 10, then we had better know where the person stands with the Lord. Come on now. Can you say that? You better know where the person stands with the Lord. You can't just willy-nilly follow everybody because you know their name. You think they got this and they got that, and that they the best this and that. What is their character? Why should a believer go to a non-believer to get advice that will affect the rest of his life? Some may question such an approach, but I challenge you to consider the spiritual and moral track record of anyone from whom you obtain important advice or counsel, especially if the decision you make affects your entire family and future. Certainly, unsaved people may have sound wisdom and good advice to offer, but a wise believer can add the crucial dimension of spiritual insight. Some counselors disperse unscriptural advice that leads to ruin and destruction. Yet Proverbs 14 and 12 warns, there is a way that seems right to a man, but end is the way of death. Proverbs has a lot to say about the value of wise counsel. Proverbs 13 and 10 declares, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with well advice is wisdom. Proverbs 15 and 22 proclaims, without counsel, plans go weary, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And Proverbs 20 and 5 instructs, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I remember when my grandfather, this is Dr. Stanley talking, a minister told me one day, Charles, whatever you do in life, always obey God fully. If he tells you to go run your head through a brick wall, go forward, expecting him to make a hole. I have never forgotten that advice, and it has remained a main girder of truth supporting my personal ministry over the last many decades, and it made me that the most, and it reminds me that the most important counsel we can ever get comes from the Lord himself. Regardless of the situation or circumstance, We shall always go first to God for his counsel. We should tell our own souls what King Jehoshaphat told the king of Israel. Please inquire for the word of the Lord today. When we do so, and that's in 1 Kings chapter 22 and 5, when we do so, we go to the wellspring of all wisdom, but we go to the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Isaiah 28 and 29. Again, family, we take it to the throne and not to the phone. Luke chapter 7. Take it to the throne and not the phone. So many times we want to take it to that phone and call sister such and such and brother you know who. And my girl, she knows everything, but don't know anything. You know, we always want to take it to everybody but to God. And what does it say? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Isn't that what we're supposed to do, Mother Valerie? Take it to
Amen.
The Lord in prayer. We don't take it to the phone. We take it to the throne because it is only God that can take us through it. Because when he brings us through it, he already equips us to go there, to get through it. We can't take it to a phone because our sisters, they don't have the power that God has. They don't have the strength that God has. They don't know the things that God knows. But so we cannot take it to them. We got to take it to him.
Amen.
And as we go into our New Testament word, Mother Valerie, it says in chapter 7 of the book of Luke, Dr. Luke, meticulous in his writing. He knows, he's very meticulous. You know, he gives you what you need. And he says, now when he concluded all his things in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. Now it happened the day after that, he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Whew. We think Lazarus was the only one he raised from the dead. He raised this widow's son. Because understand, in those days, she wouldn't have had anybody to take care of. And Jesus What did he say? Young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? John is in prison, Herod, and his brother's wife, Herodias. And they had him in prison. And we know that John is not long for his head, because they're going to take his head. Because this daughter, his niece, let's call it like it is, Herod's niece is going to dance for him to the point where he's going to get all hot and bothered and offer her half his kingdom or whatever she wants, up to half his kingdom. And what she's going to want is the head of John, because that's what her mother told her to ask for. Come on now, evil to the core. But John is now, you know how we get when we're going through. We start to feel some kind of way. And John was feeling some kind of way. He's thinking, I was born to prepare the way. I baptized him. He's my cousin. And I know my mother said that I leaped in the womb when my cousin Mary came. I know that my mother said that my cousin is special, that he is the son of God. But now I'm sitting here in this prison cell, and I want to know, is he really the one? I want to know that I didn't prepare the way for the wrong one. And so John is feeling a little some kind of way. And says, then the men had come to him, and they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitude concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Indeed, those who are gloriously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? Say to you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. But I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Whew. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. Jesus had to let them know who John was, because John let everybody know who Jesus was, prepared the way. And Jesus had to let them know that John was a fulfillment of prophecy, just like he was a fulfillment of prophecy. And I say it one more time, for I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. He said, I got to let y'all know who he is. And as we go back to a life lesson from Luke chapter 7, verse 21, he cured many infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. He cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind, he gave sight. In prison, John had begun to doubt whether Jesus was the promised Messiah. In his grace, the Lord showed the discouraged John the truth in the number and variety of his miracles. Jesus was doing what no Old Testament prophet had ever done. He was doing everything. What did he say? Tell John. He said, tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Woo! He had to tell his cousin, it's all right. It's all right. We have fulfilled our destiny. You have prepared the way for me, and I will prepare the way for you. Woo! Because he's going to die on that cross, and he's going to rise again. John is his cousin, and he loves him. And Jesus is the cousin of John, and he loves him. You can't have no greater, there's no greater love. Give your life for a friend. And Jesus gave his life for us. In Luke 7:30, the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves. Because, again, they were the ones thinking they were all that. We are doctors and reverends, and we are this and we are that. And we are in the big church cathedrals, and we don't have anything to do with that little upstart prophet out in the wilderness talking about preparing the way of the Lord, baptizing folks in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't know anything about that. We don't know who is he talking about. We don't have time for all of that foolishness and all these people running after that prophet with his camel outfit, with his staff, eating bugs and honey. We don't want to deal with that. So they didn't get baptized. And it says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him, being baptized by John. And it says, it is possible to reject the will of God for your life. This will never happen accidentally, however, or take place despite your desire. If you want God's will for your life, you can have it, but you have to choose it. Who do you choose today? As Dr. Wright says, where do you stand? I'm on the Lord's side. Are you standing on the Lord's side this morning? And I have a word for my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And the word for today is, you cannot judge things. You cannot judge things by your senses. Go by the word of God, not your feelings. Have a word of wisdom Wednesday. Just all up in our lesson this morning. All up in it. Wisdom. We need wisdom. What did it say? By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You can't go by your feelings. I know I've been my feelings many times and messed up to the floor, from the floor up, listening to my feelings. Well, I think this is what God is trying to tell me. No, it wasn't. It was feelings. And we got to not go by feelings. We got to go by the word of God. I thank God for our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. You know, she always just comes through. And I just want to say thank you to Sister Carolyn because she brought lemon cake last night, but I could not eat it. But I did give it to my son. So I'm grateful to my sister in Christ for her generosity and for her sharing is caring. And she shares all the time. She shares her heart. She shares the word that God gives her every day. And I thank her again for her contributions, for her gift from God. It is such a blessing in the present that we get a word from our sister who loves God and who loves us. So thanking God for Sister Carolyn, thanking God for all of you. If there is anyone that has a word, Mother Valerie, do you have anything else, Morning?
Well, I was
Mother
thinking about God's commandment when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And to me, it looked like God is so good that he don't have to command us to love him. It looked like we would just want to love him because he first loved us. And when God repeats over and over and over, we've been talking about the blessing and the cursing. And when he constantly keep repeating that over and over, you better listen up because you will be cursed if you do this and you will be blessed if you listen to the voice of the Lord your God. I know I don't want my name blotted out of his book. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean,
Amen.
That's what we're living this life for him to say that,
Amen.
Because he's Father, he's God, he's Abba, he's Jehovah, he's the great I Am, he's everything. And we're living for the Lord. We're not living for
Amen.
Ourselves. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him. And you want to represent him well. You don't want to say, oh, I saw Pastor Bridget coming out of the tavern and dancing a jig, and she say that she, oh, that little lady say that she's saved. Well, that woman is saved, she's lying. No, we want to represent God well. So when people see you, they see the light. They see the light of the Lord. I saw one lady one time, and her face was shining so brightly, and she looked so vibrant. And I asked her, I said, well, what kind of makeup do you wear? And she said, ma'am, I don't wear any makeup. I'm just a Christian. She said, you see the light of the Lord on my face. I said, that's exactly what I'm looking at because I thought your face was lit up like that. I wanted some of that makeup myself. I thought the woman had some shiny glow makeup or something. I mean, she was just beautiful. I didn't know her or anything. I just looked at her face. So that's what we want. We want to show God everywhere we go. We want to be kind, show mercy, and be compassionate. We want to be a good neighbor, a good friend. We want to do that. And a lot of times we don't think right, so we don't act right. But then we have to ask God, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right mind within us. Let us think good thoughts. I choose to think good thoughts when sometimes you want to think bad thoughts of people. And you don't even know them. You just look at them and
that's
don't
it.
Like them. And that's wrong. So choose this day whom you're going to serve, whether it's going to be God, Jehovah God, or you're going to serve the devil. You can make a choice because he's not going to force himself on you. God is kind. He will not force you to do anything. He won't. He's kind and he's loving. And you don't look like you shouldn't have to command you. I command you this day to love the Lord your God. Mm-mm. You just should want to. That's it for me.
That's it. Is there anyone else that is listening this morning? That is called 213-943-3597. This is Moving Forward. We are a Bible study. If there is no one else that would like to speak this morning, we just want to say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and your family. Be safe and have a wonderful, blessed day, knowing that you are a child of God and he loves you more than words can express. Thank you so much, Mother Valerie. Family, what is it, Mother? It is a wrap.
Oh, it's a wrap. It is a wrap.
It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work.
It's supposed to be a rainy day, so button yourself up good. Have a rain umbrella. It's supposed to rain.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, wow. Okay, I'll be rained. I'll be covered up. Thank you, Mother. That's what mothers do. They tell their children, put on your raincoat. It's a little chilly. Put on your coat. Make sure you got your umbrella if you're going out. So I got a great mom. So thank you, Mother. I love you. Love you, love you. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
I love you more. It's a wrap.